Father, I thank you. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for moving among your people tonight. I thank you, Father God, for your men and women who have sacrificed her all so they could worship you in spirit and truth and bring it to your people. I thank you, Father God, that you are on the move and that you are changing and rearranging lives. And Father God, I give you all honor and glory for what you're doing here tonight. We have come to sit at your table, Father God, and to receive fresh manna from heaven. And I'm asking you, Father God, to pour out that manna right now. We no longer live, Father God, but it's you that live with inside of us. It's your Holy Spirit to speak into your people. And we thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about, it's a prophetic word from God. It's encouragement to the prophets. Everybody wants to be a prophet, but nobody wants to pay the price of a prophet. Everybody wants to have their name up in lights, but nobody wants to pay the price for the name, for your name being in lights. I'm just believing that tonight that God has done something with inside of you, and he started to change, and it's not going to stop. It's going to keep on changing. You know, I read somewhere a couple weeks ago where Satan was now messing with the praise and worship in the house of God. And, you know, only you can stop him from messing with your praise. You're the only one that can submit yourself to God. And make sure that the enemy doesn't stop you from praising the Father. Amen. I can't do that for you. You have to do that yourself. You have to tell the devil that he has no place within you. And you have to make the devil leave you alone so you can praise the Father. And I'm believing tonight that you began a new road on praising the Father. And that you won't stop. We know through the Word of God that it's when you praise and worship is when God comes into your situations. He comes into your midst and he starts doing miracles. I know when we had revival here every night, the miracles that happened during praise and worship. Didn't happen afterwards, but it happened during praise and worship. God would have me get up and he'd move me around and he'd start ministering to the people. And great miracles happened, but it was during praise and worship. See, a lot of people come in here after our praise and worship because they don't like our praise and worship. But you've just missed out on God because God is the one that's telling us what to do and how to do it. And if you don't want to worship, then you're not going to receive your miracle. It's just that simple. How many of you, whenever you said, I surrender, how many of you were saying, God, come and break me? Break me, Father, so I can be more like you. Break all this junk that's inside of me that stopped me from being all that you called me forth to be and for being a vessel of honor that the glory cloud can rest upon. This is what God is trying to do. He's trying to break us so he can remold us and make us in the image of his son Jesus. So let's read this prophetic word that God gave. Take heart, my prophets of my heart. Now is the time to stand and stand strong. Do not move to the left or the right. Keep standing in the place where I have told you to stand. Fear, intimidation, and confusion have come against many of you like a cloud to cause you to withdraw or move in a direction that I am not leading you into. Do not move. Keep standing upon what I am saying. For a great awakening and increase of revelation of your authority in me is taking place. And I know for a fact that the enemy has been coming against the prophets of God and trying to discourage us and trying to make us believe we aren't hearing God's voice and on and on and on. And this God is addressing this stuff. I am awakening you to the victory that you live in and walk in me. See, I am awakening you to the victory that you live in and walk in me. We already have the victory. We're not going to get the victory. We already have their victory. And now we need to walk it out. I am increasing the anointing to prophesy over regions, cities, and nations and see a whole atmospheric shift take place in significantly loud ways. Prophets of my heart, many of you are moving further into your governmental mantle and the enemy is raging mad. But take heart, you are gaining ground. Take heart, a promotion is upon you. Take heart, I am increasing favor upon you. Take heart, I am increasing your influence for my glory and to extend my kingdom. Many of you are crossing over thresholds of destiny that will see you moved by my hand into the greatest promotions in the spirit and the natural of your life. And let's stop there. You know, when God called me on the scene, I was a prophet. I didn't know it, but I was a prophet. And I was prophesying from day one. And I didn't know what was going on, but that's what was going on. And when God called me as a prophet, he sent me into the houses, you know, into churches, and they would have ministers there, and God would go to these ministers and tell them of their sins. So God used me at that point to cleanse the house of God. Now, whether or not they got cleansed is up to them, but he sent me as a prophet to do this. Now, there's been a shift in the atmosphere and a shift in our assignment, so I want you to listen to what God is saying here. Then at the end, we'll talk about that some more. I don't really know what God is going to be doing with the prophets. I really don't know where he's taking you to. I really don't know what he's going to be speaking through you. All right? Because we have to move with the cloud. We can't move ahead of the cloud or stay behind. We have to move with the cloud. Then God goes on to say, doors, doors, and more doors abound, excuse me, and will continue to abound as I send you forth with my word in your mouth to proclaim and release and see some of the greatest shifts take place by the power of my spirit. The enemy has come against many of you with this cloud of fear, intimidation, and confusion to cause you to run or to withdraw and to cause you to doubt what you are seeing or hearing, even though you know my voice well. Now let's repeat that. You have to get a hold of this tonight. The enemy has come against many of you with this cloud of fear, intimidation, and confusion to cause you to run or to withdraw. See that? And to cause you to doubt what you are seeing or hearing, even though you know my voice well. There is a deception that is attempting to blind and silence many of the prophets, but I say unto you, keep leaning in, keep lifting up your praise, stay deep in the place of worship, for you are birthing and you are moving into a realm of understanding in the spirit realm and in the language of my spirit in ways that you have never imagined. Let's read that part again. For you are birthing and you are moving into a realm of understanding in the spirit realm and in the language of my spirit in ways that you have never imagined. You're going to be doing and saying things that you've never done and said before. And if you're not caught up with Christ, being close to him, the enemy's going to bring doubt and unbelief within you, and you're not going to move with the cloud. I send you forth as activators. There are new assignments upon many of you. I will send you forth with specific words into specific places, and you will prophesy. You hearing this? Not only will the hard grounds break open, but there will be destiny suddenly awakened in these places. The prophetic words sown into the grounds by my heart will suddenly come to life as you prophesy. What did he say? The prophetic words sown into the grounds by my heart, it has to come from God, will suddenly come to life as you prophesy. Now that was God. Now this is what I've said here with the yellow brackets are. Some prophets want to go forth prophesying every place they go, and that is not God's will. Prophets need to learn to sit still until God moves upon them to speak. As you yield to the Holy Spirit, you will know when to speak and when to stay silent. Don't be a false prophet. In other words, don't be a prophet that needs to be heard. I watch prophets, and the prophets that are quietest are the true prophets, because they don't want recognition. They only want God's voice to be heard. And they only speak when God moves upon them to speak. Now God goes on to say, I am sending many of you forth as activators to prophesy what I am saying. You will call forth the seeds of destiny sown into cities, regions, and nations. You will call them forth in accelerated ways, which will activate by the power of my spirit the tipping point, destiny, momentum for that place. In other words, when you go, the prophetic word that God speaks to you is going to change the atmosphere in that place that God sends you. Are you listening? In that place that God sends you, not the place that you want to go, but in that place that God sends you to. You could go to a place yourself and you could prophesy and nothing will happen. But if God sends you, think the atmosphere is going to change. Significant increase in angelic activity. This is what God said. Now, this is what I say with the yellow bracket. There are so many out there saying the words about angelic activity are false and not to heed them. Have you been reading those articles? They're saying that we're just going crazy with saying their angels are going to do things. Angels are here. They're here tonight. Angels will go with you wherever you go to minister God's words. Angels do the work of the Father. God told me one time, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do. So if I put my hand out to touch you, an angel of God's going to touch you and knock you over. Or you understand what I'm saying here? It's not your hand that's doing it. It's the angel of God that goes with you to minister whenever you do something. I remember one time we had we was having revival all the time. There was five people sitting back there in the corner, and all of a sudden I said, you five, come up here and stand up here. And that's just the way God uses me, you know, just do it, you know. And so they come here and stood, and I said, raise your hands, and y'all went down. I didn't go to them. The angels of God knocked them down. They didn't get hurt. And they got up, shaking their heads and bobbing their eyes around, and went back there and sat down. They said, we're leaving here because something's crazy is going on here. Amen. But see, the angel of God's were here, and the angels did the work. I was just the vessel that God works through. All right? It has already begun, you know, the works. Is that where am I at? There will be. Is that where I'm at, Nancy? There will be. There will be significant increase of angelic activity seen partnering with the words that I am releasing from your mouths. It has already begun, but it is going to increase significantly in the coming months. Angelic activity will be seen as you prophesy in ways you have never seen. The people sitting out there, if you're standing up here, wherever you're standing, they're going to see the angels around about you as you prophesy what thus saith the Father. I am sending, this is God speaking, I am sending you forth as activators with an increase you have never carried. See, God is doing a brand new thing with the prophets. It's not what it used to be. It's a brand new thing. I am sending you forth as activators with an increase you have never carried. And you will not only activate the destiny in people and people groups, but in the marketplace and cities and nations. Supernatural signs and wonders will follow your prophetic declarations in ways you have never seen. You are birthing new. Remember, God said, I'm doing a new thing. Old things are all passed away. I'm doing a brand new thing. You are birthing the new thing I am doing. You will see my glory. Now, this is all God speaking. Remember that. Where the cloud of fear, confusion, and intimidation has come against you, I am blowing the cloud away. You are moving into seeing my glory come in like a cloud, like which you have never seen. I just think it's awesome, like in the Old Testament, where there was always a cloud. And nobody could go near that cloud. They couldn't go into that place because the glory of God was there. You're moving into encounters with me where you will see my glory, which is going to take you into depths of my heart that you have never been in. See that? You are moving into encounters with me. Encounters, you have to have an encounter with God, where you will see my glory, which is going to take you into depths of my heart that you have never been in. I remember that. A Methodist preacher used to come here, him and his wife, all the time. And he didn't believe in all that stuff, you know, when he first started coming. But they got so they couldn't stay away. And they said, they told me right before he passed that they couldn't even make it through the door. They'd fall in the door, be slain in the spirit. And somebody had to pull them out, you know, out in front of the door so they could come in. But he came in as an unbeliever, you know, a Methodist preacher. But he came in as an unbeliever of the anointing. And that's what God just did awesome things then to let him see that he was real. Amen. And this is what's going to happen as you guys go out. Well, I'm with you guys too, but as the prophets go forth, this is what's going to happen. People are going to be unbelievers and they're going to be naysayers, but God is going to move through you and God is going to perform great signs, wonders, and miracles. And it's going to make an awful lot of believers out there. Amen. Secret, then God's gone on to say, secrets and revelations of my heart that you cannot even fathom await you as you continue to press in. What do you have to do? Press in. I was trying to get you to press into praise and worship tonight. Then God goes on to say, don't withdraw, lean in. Just lean in. Push through the confusion, fear, and intimidation through your worship and praise. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not yet know. There's things out there, guys, that you have not yet seen. The body of Christ, as God has been telling me all along, the body of Christ is getting ready to see things that others wish they would see, and they haven't. But we are going into a place where nobody else is going into before. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. See, so he's going to show you things you don't know. And he even told me one time, he said, what I'm getting ready to do with you is boggle your mind so much you're not even going to believe that I'm doing it through you. And so, you know, get ready for that. Get ready for that great move of God. He's going to use you. I don't care who you are. And, you know, if you're a member here and you come here, you should prophesy. Because the prophetic anointing is in the church. You should prophesy. And so don't say, well, I can't prophesy. You'd be surprised what you can do. Come on. I used to teach people how to prophesy, and they couldn't believe how God could work through them and minister to other people. And they worked on it, let God use them, and let God move through them, and they became a prophet. The gifting's there. And God said he's bringing the prophets forth at this time. Your gifting's just lying dormant. And God's trying to get you to believe in him and trust him and just go ahead and allow him to use you. I will release to you the blueprints and strategies for your assignments that will break the dams. Your assignments, not mine or the next door neighbor, but your assignments that will break the dams. Many of you shall now be known as those who are carrying the breaker anointing in such powerful ways that wherever you go, where I am leading you, okay, wherever you go, and he says, where I am leading you, not where you go on your own, you will step in and the dams will break. Generational dams will break and release the flood and tidal wave of my spirit, bringing healing, breakthrough, and healing to people, places, and areas that have been locked down for generations. These strategic breakthrough moments through my Rhema word being declared are so important and strategic that they will be known as history-making moments. See, I have a little bit of a problem with deliverance because I believe we should be so anointed that when you walk in a room like Jesus did, that the demons are going to jump out of people. I'm sorry, but that's what Jesus did. And I'm not sorry. That's what Jesus did. And we're supposed to be just like Jesus and do even greater things. So if when Jesus walked into a room and the devil's, you start screaming, what do you have to do with me? Then why isn't it happening with you and I? Your deliverance ministry team, you should set a person in here and in 2 seconds they should be walking out there jumping and dancing and rejoicing. It shouldn't take you 2 hours to get little heart parts together. You know, and I'm not being ignorant, not being sarcastic. I'm just saying that if we press into God, if we really lean into him, and we really get the anointing that we need from him, things will happen. Supernatural things will happen. And God will move in mighty ways. That used to happen whenever we was doing deliverance. We'd have 5-6 people a night. You know, they'd go off totally set free and not go back into their bondage. But then God said that we were just doing deliverances and now we're doing exorcisms because now we're fighting the big dogs. You know, the little ones didn't cut it, so now we're fighting the big dogs. But still in all, Jesus fought the big ones too. And still in all, I really believe that we should have enough anointing in us that wherever we go, the enemy will flee. All right, so say God sent 100 heathen in here tonight. What are you going to do? Go down the row for 6 hours for each person and do deliverance on them? Because they're going to come in with an awful lot of the world in them and an awful lot of demonic influences in them. They're going to have to be set free suddenly. It'd take you forever to set them free. But if you have the anointing that destroys every yoke, you understand where I'm coming from. We have to press into God. We have to get that anointing that destroys every yoke. John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Here's your scripture to cover what I just said. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, The works that I do, he will do also. So why aren't we doing the works that Jesus did? I really want your little gears to start moving up in here. And I want you to start thinking, you know, what is my problem here? Why aren't I just like Jesus? Why is the devil comfortable around you? That's what you need to ask yourself. Jesus goes on to say, governmental anointing in double portions. Many of you are stepping into your governmental anointing in double portions. What I'm about to do and lead you into is completely new. But I have been preparing you and you are ready. When I read that, I thought, wow, is that right, Lord? I know he's been preparing the Lighthouse Church. You are crossing over, and that's why the enemy is raging mad. Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. If you can't stand the fire, then get out. Because when you go out there to minister, every devil in hell is going to come against you. And Jesus even said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He told you right up front what's going to happen. God goes on to say, rejoice as you lean in. You are overcoming and are about to see me move in a way that will leave you on your face before me, undone by my power and my love like never before. Rejoice as you lean in. You are overcoming and are about to see me move in a way that will leave you on your face before me, undone by my power and my love like never before. I was hoping that was going to happen tonight with the praise and worship. I was hoping I'd see y'all fall on your face, crying out to God, break me, Father. Amen. The Elijah prophets are arising. It's time. This is God speaking. You will carry my fire like never before. The Elijah prophets are arising. It's time. It's time for my fire. All right, now we sit around and play church long enough now, church. Now we have to be about the Father's business. Now we have to be out there doing his will, pressing into him more than we ever have, and carrying his fire and his glory, and destroying the enemy in other people's lives. First of all, it has to be destroyed in your life. Then you destroy it in others. All right, God goes on to say, you are crossing over into another realm of the manifestation of my spirit within you in signs and wonders to ignite, activate, heal, and deliver people, cities, nations, and regions. You are crossing over into another realm of the manifestation of my spirit within you in signs and wonders to ignite, activate, heal, and deliver people, cities, nations, and regions. We've been crying out, God, let us see the signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, the only way you're going to see that is if you've been pressing into God. Not into the signs, wonders, and miracles, but into the very presence and essence of God. So that all people see is Jesus and they don't see you. The destiny winds and the destiny mantle upon prophets is increasing significantly right now. God goes on to say, stand, stand, stand. A mighty move of my spirit is at hand. Are you ready for that mighty move of God's Spirit? Are you really ready for that mighty move of God's Spirit? Have you died out to yourself? Have you pressed into God like you've never pressed in before? Every second that you're walking the earth, are you constantly, what's on your mind constantly is, God, change me, renew me, make me more like your son, Jesus. Or is the cares of the world's taken over and you're not even pressed into God at all? So you have to be pressing in continually, guys. You have to be pressing in continually if you expected for God to use you in the mighty way that he wants to. Now, that was all that God said. Now, this is what I'm saying from this point on. All right, what are the characteristics of an Elijah prophet? God spoke it is time for the Elijah anointing, so I looked up a few things about Elijah. Number one, in the latter Old Testament prophetic tradition, Elijah was associated with the day of the Lord. In Malachi 4:6 says, Elijah will help the parents become close to their children, and he will help the children become close to their parents. And this must happen or I will come and completely destroy your country. You see that? If you're a prophet, And you're the Elijah, you have the Elijah anointing that God's been talking about. He said the Elijah prophets are arising, is what he said. Then you should have an anointing to minister to families, to help draw families together and not pull them apart. All right, the second thing is Elijah was sent to by God on the behalf of the people. Elijah was described as similar to the messenger in Malachi 3:1. The Lord All-Powerful says, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way for me. Then suddenly the Lord you are looking for will come to his temple. Yes, the messenger you are waiting for, the one who will tell about my agreement, is really coming. So you will go forth proclaiming the second coming of Jesus Christ. Number three, Elijah's coming was either to pacify family quarrels or to restore the covenant relationship. So in Malachi 2:10, we all have the same Father, the same God made every one of us. So why do people cheat one another? They show that they don't respect the agreement. They don't respect the agreement that our ancestors made with God. The people of Judah cheated other people. People in Jerusalem and Israel did terrible things. God loves the temple, but the people in Judah didn't respect the Lord's holy temple. The people of Judah began to worship a foreign goddess. The Lord will remove them from Judah's family. They might bring gifts to the Lord All-Powerful, but it will not help. You can't be out there worshiping the world and worshiping God also. Verse 13 says, you can cry and cover the Lord's altar with tears, but the Lord will not accept your gifts. He will not be pleased with the things you bring to him. You ask, why are our gifts not accepted? It is because the Lord saw the evil things you did. He is a witness against you. He saw you cheat on your wife. You have been married to her since you were young. She was your girlfriend. Then you made your vows to each other, and she became your wife. That's the way it should have worked, but now we have two or three wives or husbands, you know, but still not the one you're married to, all right? God wants husbands and wives to become one body and one spirit. Why? So that they would have holy children and protect that spiritual unity. Don't cheat on your wife. She has been your wife from the time you were young. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I hate divorce, and I hate the cruel things that men do, so protect your spiritual unity. Don't cheat on your wife. Okay, so if you're proclaimed to be a prophet, then why are you cheating on your wife or your husband? Why don't you have godly children? Why are your children so messed up? It's because you did not love your wife the way the Word of God tells you to. I'm sorry, guys, but that's the way it is. You're supposed to be the priest. All right, then number four, Elijah came on the scene without warning. Some of you are going to come on the scene without warning. Nobody's ever going to have heard about you before. And all of a sudden, there you are. When I came on the scene, nobody heard about me. I didn't know about me either. Amen. And then there I was. And who is this woman? You know, and everybody was having me in church. They wouldn't know who this woman was that knew everything. Well, I didn't know anything, but God working through me did. And that's what's going to happen to you all when you go out there. Nobody knows you from nothing. Then God's just going to put you out there, and he's going to start using you to prophesy what thus saith the Lord, and people are going to recognize you as one of God's children. All right? All right, now, number five, Elijah was a loner. Remember I told you this morning that a prophet should really be a loner? Because when you're out there with the crowd and you're wanting to mingle with everybody, you hear everybody's garbage, and then when you prophesy, you have all the garbage inside of you, and you don't know what's coming out. All right, number six, God miraculously sustained him. God has been telling us that those of his children who will walk close to him, he will keep us in the midst of all the trials and tribulations. So if you're a real prophet of God, if you have the Elijah prophet on you, then God is going to sustain you no matter where you go. Isn't that what he did to Elijah? He always took care of him, didn't he? Number seven, Elijah learned compassion so God could send him to his own people. And you can find that in 1 Kings 17:12. He's going to put you in situations where you're going to learn compassion for people, for the down and outers, people you wouldn't even associate with. God's going to shove you right in the middle of them, and so you can have compassion, so he can send you to them, and so you can speak what thus saith the Lord to them. And number eight, through Elijah, God was able to minister to believers in the ordinary affairs of life. Every one of you in here now, you shouldn't be so high and mighty that God can't use you to minister to the lowest of the low, you in your eyes. In God's eyes, everybody's high and lifted up. In your eyes, the lowest of the low. You should be right there where God can use you to minister to anybody. All right, where am I at? Number 9. Elijah showed an astute social concern, emerging as a leader with strong ethical ideals. You need to be a strong person with holiness within you if you're going to have the Elijah anointing as a prophet. God's not going to use you messed up. We talked about that this morning. You have to be holy. All right, 1 Kings 21:10 says, Elijah was described as a hairy man with a leather belt around his waist. Sorry, ladies. We aren't hairy. We don't have a leather belt, right? But God's still going to use us. So 2 Kings 1:7-8 says, then he said to them, what kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words? So they answered him, a hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. So everybody knew Elijah, the king. This was the king speaking to his men. All right, number 11, Elijah gave Elijah his cloak, not his staff. I thought that was interesting. He gave him his cloak, his mantle, but he didn't give his staff of authority. Isn't that awesome? God passes that along. See, you know, you have to be humble before our Maker. You have to understand that you are not the one that does the work. It's all God. And I don't care how well you can speak or how well you can't speak. God can speak. And when God speaks, everybody listens. So if I was you, I would quickly submit myself to God. Give him your big fat mouth. Amen. And allow him to use you the way he wants to use you, not the way you want to do yourself. All right, when I came on the scene, people came against me, and I asked the Father, who am I? And this is the scripture he gave me. I want you to remember this scripture, because whenever you come on the scene right now, people are going to come against you, and they're going to mock you, and they're going to scorn you. And you might not be like me, but it made me sit back and say, God, who am I really? Because I was new to all this. And this is what he gave me, Matthew 11:7. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, all right? What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Because everybody was inviting me to their churches, but they all put me down. I don't know what they expected to see, and this is what my problem was. Verse 8, Jesus said, but what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Because they all said a prophet's in town. Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he who, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before me. I want you to get this scripture down in your spirit, because you're going to need to stand on it. Verse 11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not been one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, John the Baptist. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Elijah was preparing the way. God told me this church is the second John the Baptist church, and we are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So if you're living in this dispensation, we're in a new dispensation. The 40-year period has come to an end from the time that I was called 30 years ago, but I know 10 years before that went by. A 40-year period has ended. We are in a new 40-year period, guys. And so God is going to be doing new things and greater things, things that other you have never seen or heard before. Now, you're going to have to remember, he said, if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You are another Elijah sent forth to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what God gave me. I stand on this. I don't care what anybody says to me. I know who I am in Christ. I don't build myself up. I'm just telling you, I'm just giving you this because I'm supposed to be teaching you. You're going into a new era in Christ. In the next 40 years, a whole lot of things are going to happen. And Jesus isn't coming tomorrow. I don't care what you say. Nobody knows when he's coming. So we don't, and God said, don't ever talk about when my son's coming. Just do my work. And so when people start doing that to you, just say, I don't go there. I do not. And I tell people, I do not go there. Because you don't know, and I don't know, and I really don't care. We would live a terrible life if we knew the exact day, wouldn't we? We wouldn't even enjoy life. All right. As a true prophet of God, God might ask you to do some things that don't make sense. Hosea 1, verse 2. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry. You know, Hosea was a well-known prophet. He was one of the elite. All right. And so God said, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the Lord land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. Why did the prophet have to go marry a harlot? Because the land, the people, had created great harlotry by departing from the Lord. What is going on right now? The church has departed from the Lord. And you prophets, you're going to be sent out there to do a specific work for the Father. You better be determined you're going to do what the Father tells you, no matter what anybody does or says to you. So verse 3, so he went and took, you know, Hosea went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. See, he told him what to even name his children, and his children were all witnesses of what the people were doing in their sin nature. Then verse 5, it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, call her name, literally her name is No Mercy. So I'm going to say, call her name No Mercy. For I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. See how God is using the prophet as a sign and a wonder? Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, or battle, by horses or horsemen. Now when she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, call his name Loam, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Hosea, he was a renowned prophet, had to marry a harlot so God could get his point across to the people. So if God asks you to do something extraordinary, people aren't going to agree with you. They're going to say you didn't hear God's voice, and you're going to believe you didn't hear God's voice after a season. But you did hear God's voice, and it was for a purpose. Where am I at? In Ezekiel 4:1. Now, this is another thing that God had a prophet do. You also, son of man, take a clay tablet and lay it before you and portray on it a city, Jerusalem. Lay siege against it, build a siege wall against it, and heap up a mound against it, set camps against it also, and place battering rams against it all round. Moreover, take for yourself an iron plate, and set it as an iron wall between you and the city. Set your face against it, and it shall be besieged, and you shall lay siege against it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. Now, I forgot what this prophet's name is. Anyhow, this is what God had a prophet do. Now, that story seems sort of dumb, doesn't it? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me as I read it in the natural, but in the spiritual, it makes sense. Then God goes on to tell him, lie also on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of days that you lie in it, you shall bear their iniquity. So this prophet had to lay on his side to bear the iniquity of the people. And verse 5 says, for I have laid on you the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. He had to lay there on his side for that many days. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side, then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. Therefore you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem. Your arms shall be uncovered, and you shall prophesy against it. And surely I will restrain you so that you cannot turn from one side to another till you have ended the days of your siege. And one version says that he said, I will tie your hands so you can't move. Then verse 9, also take for yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Put them into one vessel and make bread of them for yourself. During the number of days that you lie on your side, 390 days, ye shall eat it. And your food which you eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day, from time to time ye shall eat it. You shall also drink water by measure, 1/6 of a hin, from the time to time you shall drink. And you shall eat it as barley cakes, and bake it using fuel of human waste in their sight. Then the Lord said, so shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles where I drive them. See, it was all for a purpose, so God could show the people what was going on. Then Ezekiel 4:14 in the easy-to-read version Bible says, then I said, oh, but Lord God, I have never eaten any unclean food. Remember, he's going to cook it over human waste, right? I have never eaten meat from an animal that died from a disease or from an animal that was killed by a wild animal. I have never eaten unclean meat, not from the time that I was a little boy, baby, until now. None of that bad meat ever entered my mouth. Then God said to me, very well, I will let you use dry cow dung to cook your bread. You don't have to use dry human dung. Then God said to me, son of man, I am destroying Jerusalem's supply of bread. People will have only a little bread to eat. They will be very worried about their food supply, and they shall have only a little water to drink. Every time they take a drink, they will feel more afraid. That is because there will not be enough food and water for everyone. They will be terrified as they watch each other wasting away because of their sins. I told you that. God has asked me to do many things that the other pastors in this area do not believe in. But I always do what God tells me to do, and there's always a purpose for what he does. And he's always told me why he wants me to do something, just like he did this prophet, these prophets. If you are not willing to do something you've never heard of before, then drop out of the prophetic circle right now. Because what God is going to ask you to do sometimes is going to blow your mind. And you're going to say, God, do you really know what you're doing? Amen. Now, prophets of the Most High God, you must realize the importance of the calling God has placed upon your lives. If you're a prophet, you must realize the importance of the calling God has placed upon your lives. You must listen very intently to the voice of the Father, and you must do only what he instructs you to do. It is not for you to tell God what to say. It is up to you to listen and allow God to use your vocal cords to say what he desires to say. But I know something about that person. That's too bad. I use the example all the time about the young lady who came up for me to prophesy to. And as she walked up to me, God said, she's a prostitute and a whore. God never spoke that through my lips to that young lady. All he spoke to her was how much he loved her and what great mighty things he's going to use her to do. Now, if she walked up there, if I'd have said, you're a whore and a prostitute, that would end her life right then and there. She would never stepped into the house of God ever again. But see, that was just from my information, not for me to speak into somebody else's life. And see, some people want to be so important that they just speak every old thing they hear. And God will tell you things, but they aren't for you to speak. And sometimes, I'm sorry guys, you prophets in here, some of you say too much to people. And you ruin anything we've build up in their life. You ruin it just by some dumb word you speak over them, because then they can run back to Brett and Nancy and crying, and then they think, you know, they're all undone because you said something you shouldn't have said. God might have given you that information, but you should have kept your mouth shut. Are you listening? So not every bit of information needs to be spoken. I'm going to tell you right now, if God is really using you as a prophet, you will speak and not, you'll say, what? To yourself, what? As it's coming out, you'll say, God, please don't say that, because you aren't in the mix at all. You're just a vessel, and God just starts speaking through you. If you're a true prophet, that's the way it works. But if you're sitting there thinking, your mind's whirling around a minute, you're not really a true prophet. You are wanting to be a prophet so bad that you're allowing your mind to make you a mess. That's the truth, whether you want to receive that or not. So if you're going to be a true prophet of God, then be a true prophet of God and let him use you the way he wants to. All right, let me see here. I don't know if God is going to use his prophets to prophesy judgment upon his house any longer. I don't know that, you know, upon the churches. Or if he is going to use you to prophesy coming events and encouragement to the new souls brought into the kingdom. Because as far as I know, God said he's finished with the church. And so why would he use you to go and speak judgment into these churches? God's already spoken to them. They weren't listening. And so the only thing I can figure out, and God hasn't really clarified it yet, I wrote this down today, and I said, God, I just really don't understand what you're going to do with us. And I'd like to know. As soon as I know, I'll let y'all know, though, okay? But, you know, but then, too, you might meet churches that have never been prophesied to. So keep this in mind. And those churches have never been told they're doing wrong. And so they're out there doing their thing, thinking they're doing right and they're doing wrong. And God might use you to go judge the house of God. But please, make sure it's God and not you. Because you really don't know how God has been speaking to these people. You really don't. And we're bringing new souls in. God's bringing new souls into the kingdom. And they're going to need to be there. They want to hear words of encouragement. We're going to have to be speaking into their lives. We're going to have to be building them up, just like God's been doing the church for 30 years I've been ministering. He's been building the church. I mean, God's been weeping over the church because the church is going to hell in a handbasket. He says, and they will not yield. They will not listen to my voice. So I'm leaving the church and I'm going to the world. He's told me that I don't know how many times. I've told you all that. And God means what he says. And this morning, you know, after God told me he prayed for Lighthouse Church, I just really felt like that was an encouraging, that should have been an encouragement to everybody that belongs to Lighthouse Church or comes here. Okay, so I've been messed up. I've messed up, but God prayed for me because I'm part of the Lighthouse Church. I get another chance. This is what I felt like when I read that. I get another chance, but I can't mess this one up because he's already prayed for me, all right? Whatever God is choosing to do, we must allow him to use us as willing, submitted vessels of honor he can work through. Remember in the Old Testament when a prophet was in town, everybody trembled in fear because the people knew that they came in the name and the voice of the Lord. I'm going to say that again because I have to tell you something. Remember in the Old Testament when a prophet was in town, everybody trembled in fear because the people knew they came in the name of the voice of the Lord. Now, when I came on the scene here in Delaware, because this is where I live, you know, all the pastors were all anxious to get me into their churches until I started prophesying because the pastor divided other pastors. And God had me walk through, you know, the seats and go right to him and touch him and say, you're in sin. You're committing adultery. After they found out that's what I was doing, they know, don't get her into your church. Don't get her into the church. She doesn't know what you're talking about. Amen. So, you know, that might happen to you too. There's a whole lot of things out there that people get all excited about. But the minute you go in there and start telling the truth about yourself, all of a sudden you're not a prophet. You're of the, they even said, she's of the devil. Don't go to her church. She's of the devil. And you know, they'll say all manner of evil about you, but are you a prophet of God or aren't you? Are you a child of God? Are you submitted to God? Are you willing to pay the price that it's going to take to be an Elijah prophet? Because it costs you everything. I mean, absolutely everything. Amen. Some of you, you know, you would really want God to use you, but you haven't gone through enough of the refiner's fire yet. There's still things in you that wants to take control, and it's not God. And God can't use you until you allow him to take all that out of you. Come on. If God sent you here, and I know he did, it's because he wants to use you, and he's going to use you, but he had to get the junk out of you first. Amen. He has to get the junk out of me because some of you drive me crazy. You know, so I have to go and get that junk. I have to get the crazy junk out of me and say, God, just smack him really good. Amen. I was trying to think of what I preach. I've been preaching about this thing over and over and over again, and somebody come to me, guess what I heard a preacher say the other day? And I thought, oh, dear God, I'm going to knock them off the chair. I've been preaching this thing for years, and all of a sudden, you listen to some other preacher say the very same thing. You repeat it to me, and it's the same thing I've been repeating over and over again. You know, that's when you want to hit them up alongside the heads. Where have you been? What were you doing sitting here in that chair? Sleeping with your eyes open? You know, have earplugs on or something? That's just like Brother Larry this morning. The alarm was gone. I said, why didn't he get that alarm turned off? I was out in the study and I come in here. He had his earplugs in, you know, listen to music. I had to shake him. Turn that off. But, you know, that's one thing people do in the house of God. They have earplugs of some sort stuck in there. And they're sitting there like they're taking everything in and they're not taking nothing in because they can't hear nothing. because their ears are plugged up with the things of the world. So if you're going to be a prophet, get your earplugs out. Get your ears wide open. God said, clean the wax out really good. I just heard him say that. Because he's going to be speaking to you, and he's going to be speaking very softly. And he wants you to move when he speaks. But he also wants you to stand still when he tells you to stand still. All right? So this is what God said. He said, I want to cleanse the tongues of my prophets and clean out their ear. Okay. And clean out their ears so they only hear what thus saith the Lord. That's what he wants to do tonight. See, I didn't have that on the screen. I put that on my little separate sheet of paper. I want to cleanse the tongues of my prophets. So if you're a prophet, then God wants to cleanse your tongue tonight. So that when you speak, it'll be God speaking. Do you know how many times I ask God to cleanse my tongue every day? Father God, please cleanse my tongue when I get out of this bed, as I get out of this bed, so I don't say, thus saith the Lord, if you're not speaking. And you know, my whole family knows me, and when I go to my family to really talk to them serious about something, I say, you know me. I never use God's word to say something to make you believe or get scared. And they all said, yeah, I know. I said, well, this, I'm going to tell you right now what God just spoke to me. You have to heed this. And see, too many people are, they're tempted, and then they give into the temptation of saying something to their loved ones or to their friends. God just told me this about you, and he didn't. But you want them to change, so you'll say that. And you've just destroyed them. Because God did not want to say anything to them at this given time. He's still working on the situation in their life. You know? Right now, yeah, I'm really fighting that struggle because somebody went backwards a little bit, and I really want to go say, well, you know, God said, but I can't even tell them the truth of what God really did say. God said, I want you to be quiet. What I told you is for your information only. You just have to love. So if your mouth gets diarrhea, if your tongue gets diarrhea, just take something and make it quit. And only speak when God speaks to you. So tonight, if the altar's open and God said, I want to cleanse the tongues of my prophets and clean out their ears so that they can hear what thus saith the Lord. The altar's open if you want that special touch from the Father. And I'm telling you guys, God is telling me right now that he is gathering his prophets together right now, his true prophets. And he's going to be sending you out, and you are going to do a great mighty works for the Father. You're going to be doing a great mighty works for the Father. So, if you know you're a prophet, please let God do this for you. Please let him wash your mouth. And please let him clean out your ear. Let him clean out your ears. And remember what God, I told you two years ago, God said the false prophets are on the scene. And you don't want to be a false prophet. You want to be a true prophet. There's nothing more powerful, I'm going to tell you right now, guys, nothing more powerful than to just be standing and all of a sudden God starts speaking through you. That's the most powerful thing, don't you think, that can ever happen to you? It's just awesome the way he just all of a sudden, bloop, out it comes. And then it's also awesome whenever you want to say something to somebody, but God won't let you say it. He's telling you what's going to go on, but he won't let you tell them, but they're not ready to receive it yet. So God is just awesome if we just allow him to be awesome. Come on, I want to see you prophets rise up. And I want the prophets in Delaware to do the works that God's calling you forth to do. Delaware needs you, prophets. There's not enough true prophets in Delaware.